Amen, church. You may be seated. I don't know if you guys remember this or know this or not, but it's been 2 weeks since I preached. So we'll be getting out of here around 2 o'clock today. We can get caught up. Amen. No, that was my wife, church. All right. Let's see if we can have a vote. We're Baptists. Let's vote here real quick. Let's do that. Hey, it is good to be here. It is an honor, as always, to open up God's word with you today. Man, I know we've got people traveling today. That's a hard thing. It's a good thing about Vail School District and the hard thing. Like, two or three weeks for fall break, I would have loved that as a kid. I probably would have succeeded more if instead of having like 2 or 3 months off during the summer and having little breaks here and there. But we've got people traveling today and working today. And so we hope you're watching online. We miss you. Last week, we were out of town. We went to Pine Top, had an unplugged time, and just were able to spend a good amount of time with my wife and with our kids and with the Lord, and it was so good. I'm so grateful for my friend Keith Durham. He's been here a handful of times, and he just faithfully preaches the Word of God, and I'm so grateful for that. And he was able to continue in our series, too. And then Bob preached the week before, so I'm grateful for men that step in and do that. Jessica and I are thankful for our friendship, not only with Bob and Judy, but also with Terry and Keith. This morning, we continue in our series, Be Strong, in 2 Timothy, walking verse by verse through everything written there. And when Paul writes this letter, just a little bit of reminder, he is in the Mamertine prison. That prison is still there today. You can go, they don't use it anymore, but you can go and look at it and see it. You can look it up online to see what Paul went through. Paul had been arrested and been in prison many times before because of preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus, but this prison, the Mamertine prison, was different. If you were in this prison, you knew that your days were numbered. This would have been Paul's last letter. He's about to be killed because he was a Christian, a faithful follower of Christ, a leader in the church. And there was also a great persecution against Christ followers that had gone out in the area, especially during this time. It was very, very intense. And so he found himself in this Mamertine prison, and he is about to go be with Jesus. And so when we think about 2 Timothy, it would be helpful for us to envision Paul kind of passing on that leadership baton to Timothy. Paul had found Timothy earlier. He invited him to follow him. He poured into him. He trained him. He discipled him. He did life with him. They both did ministry together. And now as Paul's about to go be with Jesus, he's writing this letter to encourage Timothy and his church, but also to us, church. Right, he's going to speak to us about being strong and running our race well, standing firm, remaining faithful. Remain committed to follow Jesus in his mission. And so this morning, open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's where we're going to be today. In chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. And in these verses, we're going to see Paul is going to speak about endurance and being strong. Church, I think this is a timely message. I think we're in a spot where a lot of us, we're coming out of the COVID stuff, where just life has been hard. We need to be strong. So he's going to talk to him about endurance and being strong and about passing on the torch and the truth of Jesus and the Word of God onto others, other leaders, and to the next generation. Church, I think it's important for us to know that God has given not only leaders right in the church, not only Timothy, but he's given each and every one of us a responsibility to not only walk with him faithfully ourselves. That's where our starting point is, right? We need to walk with the Lord, but we also have a responsibility to pour into others, to teach others, to point others to Jesus, and to help them grow in their walk with Jesus. Paul is also showing us in this text and this whole writing, really, that we need each other. We say that a lot here, church, that we're better together, and we've really been adding on to that. We need each other. Amen, church? Man, we need each other. God's design is that we live out and teach Jesus to our children and to others here in this church and other places. I just want to say this, man, I'm so grateful for our kids' life workers. Our kids' life workers that pour into the next generation. I'm grateful for our youth workers that pour into the next generation, men and women who have made a commitment to grow in their own walk with Christ, but to also teach the next generation who Jesus is and how to follow him. A lot of times you may go to a church and man, it's just kind of a babysit time, right? Man, by the grace of God, man, we will never do that. We always want to teach the word of God faithfully to anybody that can understand it. Amen, church? Right? That's what we want to do. We want to teach them who Jesus is and how to follow him. I'm also grateful for our group leaders. Right? Life group, men and women, right? That disciple others and encourage others. And there's others in our church that really aren't in a official leadership position that have come along others and said, man, I'm going to disciple you and I'm going to pour into you. That's God's design, church. I think about my parents. I think about my grandparents and others in my family, those in my church family growing up who told me about Jesus, taught me about Jesus and how to follow him and lived out a great example for me. Paul in our text today is going to encourage Timothy to continue. He's saying, man, I'm going to be gone, but I want you to continue to trust in and follow Jesus as a pastor, but also as a Christ follower. Times are going to be hard, Timothy. We're going to see that more as we go through this text, especially in chapters 3 and 4. The world around you, Timothy, church, right? It's hard, right? And the world's going to make it tough for us to follow Jesus and to be faithful. But we're going to see Paul encourage Timothy and encourage us to endure, to stand firm and continue to pass on the baton of God's truth and his gospel. Today, church, we're going to see 6 encouragements for Timothy. Justin told me I had too many notes this morning, so we'll just ignore that. Pray for him and encourage him. We're going to see 6 encouragements for Timothy as a pastor and Christ follower, but also for all of us. As we live for Jesus, as we share the gospel and invite others to do ministry and to walk with us. So if you guys are able, let's stand and let's read God's word together. You guys follow along as I read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what God's word says. Paul writes to Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of the everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him, with Jesus. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny Jesus, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let's pray, church. God, we gather today here in person and online. And God, we want to humble ourselves. Give us a heart posture of humility, ready to listen to you. God, we've all got things going on in our lives. We've got distractions. We've got hardship. We've got good and bad. We live in a fallen and broken world. And so, God, we sit here and we're ready to listen to what you have for us from your word today. God, we know there are people in our church that are going through hard times. We pray, Lord, that today is an encouragement for them as we look at being strong in the Lord. Pray, God, that you would strengthen us, strengthen those that are struggling, those that are going through hardship, those that are sick. God, I pray that you'd speak with us and let this be a life-changing time with you today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. As we walk through this passage, church, we're going to see Paul give Timothy and also us 6 things to do, 6 encouragements as he leads others to follow Jesus for Timothy and for us as we follow Christ. The first one comes from verse 1, where Paul begins by saying this. He said, "You therefore," talking to Timothy, "my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Remember, Timothy was not Paul's biological or even adopted son, but he was his son in the faith. Paul was his spiritual dad. He was his spiritual mentor. He poured into him and loved him like a son. And he tells him, Timothy, as you pastor, as you lead others, as you follow Jesus, you're going to need to have endurance. You're going to need to be strong, Timothy. The words be strong, they mean simply to be strong, but they also mean to be strengthened and to be made strong. It's important to know that this is a continual action that Timothy is receiving or being taught about from Paul. It's a continual action. He's telling us, he's telling Timothy and us, you need to be strong, but also you need to continue to be strengthened. You need to continue to be made strong. And that's a good reminder for us, church. We don't just need to be strong and gain strength a couple times a year. Amen, church? Man, we need to be continually after growing and being strengthened. It's a continual action. And it's important for us to know this, church. Paul tells us how to be strong. We know how to be strong here in our physical bodies, right? We go work out, right? We eat healthy. We run, we walk, we do all those types of things. Or you just, you know, Photoshop it on the computer to make it look like you look strong, right? But Paul tells us how to be strong. He tells us where our strength comes from. Church, he says this. I want you guys to read this with me. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's try that again. You ready? Are you ready, class? Okay. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that leads us to our first point. As Christ followers living in this world, Paul says, be strong and be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're to be strong and continue to be strengthened. And the source for our strength, church, is Jesus. It's Jesus. It is by his grace that he gives us the strength that we need. Grace is receiving something we never deserved. Amen, church? And so we go to Jesus for his grace. To be strengthened. I think that's an important word for us to hear today because we go to a lot of different places to be strengthened. We try to go to individuals. Me and my wife can go and strengthen each other and encourage each other, but for true sustaining strength that comes from Jesus. Paul was a great example of this, church. He was a strong and enduring worker for the gospel of Jesus. Think about this. Think about all that he did. God used him in many ways that we probably don't even know about, but we know that he used him to write much of the New Testament. He used Paul to travel and to develop leaders. He used him to be a missionary. He used him to plant churches. He used him to spend time in prison. Amen, right? He used him to disciple and to teach, and Paul faced a lot of hardship. Paul endured a lot of suffering. And so Paul was speaking out of experience. It's hard to hear someone if they're saying, hey, just be strong. And you know they've never been through what you're going through, right? But Paul's been there and done that. And Paul was able to point back and said, hey, man, my life is almost over, but I was able to be strong and endure. Why? Because he had experienced and he kept experiencing the grace of Jesus and his strength in his life. That's important, church. Right. Sometimes we're like, man, I wish God would use us as he used Paul or Timothy or whoever. Are we going to the source for strength so that God can use us? And he's saying, Timothy, be strong, keep being strengthened, but not by your own strength, but by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's reminding him, Timothy, church, your grace is not from anything else. It comes from Jesus. And remember, Paul is writing this to Timothy as the pastor and church leader, but also as a man of God. So as a pastor, be strong, Timothy, in the grace of God. But Christ follower, be strong in the grace that we have in Jesus. So this is a truth not only for pastors and leaders, but equally for you and me, for all of us as Christians as we follow Christ. To endure, to be strong, to be committed in our calling as Christians. What does that look like? It may be as you lead in the church. Maybe you, as you do a ministry. Maybe you need to endure and be strong in God's calling in your life. Maybe you need to be strengthened as a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife or an employee or a community member. No matter what it is, church, no matter what God has you doing, Timothy is being told, and we're being told, you can be strong. You can endure because of the grace of Christ Jesus in our life. Church, when you and I come to know Jesus, Jesus calls it in John chapter 3, when we're born again. When we are saved and we surrender our lives to Jesus and we become children of God, all of that happens not because we earned it or we did anything. It's because of God's grace that we're saved, church. Right? We never deserved it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, right? It's not of yourselves. None of us can boast or brag to say, look what I did to earn my way into heaven with Jesus. It's all through the grace of Jesus. It's a gift of God. Grace is God giving you and me what we never deserve. But here's the good news. It's not just at salvation. He keeps on giving grace. Even after we're saved, so that we can continue to be used by him and accomplish whatever it is that he's called us to do. Paul speaks of this grace in 2 Corinthians 12:9. I think we can relate to this more than we often think about. Paul was out ministering and serving and planting churches and being a missionary and spending time in prison. He's doing all these things. He's serving the Lord. And he mentions in 2 Corinthians 12, he calls something a thorn in the flesh. I think we all have thorns in the flesh, either all the time or at times. We don't know exactly what it was. There are some scholars that believe it had to do with his eyesight and maybe some headaches and different things like that. We don't really know what it was, but there was something that was a painful hindrance to Paul's ministry. And so Paul calls out to God and said, God, three times, will you remove this thorn? And God's answer to him in verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Her power is perfected in weakness. Who needs to hear that today? My grace is sufficient for you. God, I want you to take away this sickness. God, I want you to take away these feelings. God, I want you to take away depression. God, I want you to take away whatever it is. And God may say, man, I'm going to use this in your life, but my grace is sufficient for you. I will give you the strength and the comfort and everything you need as you do what I've called you to do, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul experienced this, and he's telling Timothy and he's telling us, you can endure, you can accomplish what God has called you to do when you find your strength not in you, but in Jesus. And by his grace, we are able to do all that we need to do. He will supply all the strength we need to endure. Our strength to endure as leaders, as Christ followers, is not found in us, but the real strength, the eternal strength, the real strength we need is found in Jesus, church. You know, it's amazing. We have all these self-help books that are always on the top selling list. Are you with me, church? But how often do we go to those instead of to Jesus? It was really good for me and my wife to get away. And she can tell you, man, I spent a lot of time on the front porch with Jesus. You ever been there, church, where you just need to be strengthened by Jesus? When we have a thorn in our side, when we have struggles, when we're weak, when we're sick, maybe we need to renew a commitment. Maybe we're struggling in other ways. You and I cannot muster up enough strength on our own, no matter how many self-helps we have, church. You and I cannot muster up enough strength on our own. It's only through Jesus and the grace that he gives us. And I love it. There's two passages in Scripture where Jesus himself reminds us of this. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, you have all these people who are trying to follow the rules. They're working hard for the gospel or for the Lord. They're trying to please God. They're trying to be religious. They're trying in their own strength. And they're carrying all these burdens. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. If you are weary and burdened, you are invited to come to Jesus. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe you've not been saved. Maybe you don't know Jesus and you're carrying the burden and weight of your sin. And Jesus says, hey, come to me and I will give you rest. Maybe you are saved and you're carrying a burden. You are tired. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. We yoke up with Jesus, church. Right? We learn from him because I am, listen to his heart. Jesus says, I am lowly and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. When we're with Jesus, yoked up with him, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Church, Jesus is inviting us to himself. We separated ourselves from God when we sinned, but he says, hey, come to me. He's inviting us to be yoked up with him, to be partnered and to do ministry and missions and to be in communion with him. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus reminds us again that we need him. He says, listen, I'm the vine. You are the branches. What's that mean? The branch cannot survive without the vine. Amen, church? That's where the life and the strength and everything that we have comes from. The one who remains in Jesus and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. Church, if we want to be strong, if we want to endure, if we want to be able to accomplish the work of the ministry, if you're tired, right, if you're worn out, if you're wanting to be the godly man and woman to accomplish what God is calling you to do, no matter what role it is, it's done when we find our strength in Jesus and his grace, church. Jesus and his grace. As a Christ follower, you may be dealing with discouragement, tiredness. Maybe you got a difficult person in your life and all God's people said, amen, right? Whatever it is, we turn to Jesus and we find strength. We are strong, able to endure. We get things done. We bear much fruit when we abide in Jesus. Church, if you're saved, the good news is you belong to Jesus and you will always belong to Jesus. No one, not even you, can pluck you out of God's hand. God lives within you. We also have the ability to hear from God and to talk to God through his word and through prayer. We have the church family, brothers and sisters. By the grace of God, we have one another, church. And God uses all of those, the Holy Spirit living within us, with our prayer, our time in the word, our time together. He uses all of that to strengthen us, encourage us to be strong and able to endure. You know what Paul is telling Timothy, man, I needed you to endure. I needed you to be strong. And you needed me. Church, I'm going to tell you, man, I need you to be strong. God has placed you in my life and you with me, church, man, and God has placed us together so that we can be strong. That's part of his plan. Because of the good news of Jesus, because of the gospel that Jesus came and lived the life that we couldn't live, because he died on the cross and rose again, and one day we'll be with him. Because of all of that, we can come to Jesus. We can receive his grace so that we can endure and be strong. Paul writes in verse 2, for our next note, the thing which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Here's what Paul is instructing and encouraging Timothy and us to do. First, be strong by the grace of Jesus. Second, pass on the gospel and teach others. Be strong. Come to Jesus. Two, pass on the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and teach others. Think about this. Paul disciples, he pours into, he teaches Timothy, he teaches others, leaders and not leaders. And the same biblical truth, the same gospel that Paul is telling Timothy to pass on, it's the same biblical truth in the gospel that we continue to pass on and teach and live out today, church. I love that passage where Paul says he's in prison, but the gospel, the word of God, is not. Remember, in the immediate context, Paul is writing to Timothy as the pastor in Ephesus. And so when we think about what Paul is saying to Timothy, right, we see that Paul is telling him, hey, pastor, the gospel and the truth of God and God's word, Timothy, you're to preach that. You're to teach that. You're to pass that on. Pastors hopefully are preaching the gospel and truth from the pulpit. Amen, church? And then it should happen in smaller settings. But even in smaller settings, maybe in one-on-one in discipleship, that's pastors should be doing that. But Timothy also has an intentional responsibility to identify those in the church that he will teach and teach them, who then will teach others and just continue that pattern. And I'm going to tell you what, the pattern works because we're here today preaching the gospel. He's telling Timothy, hey, Timothy, find men in your church, men who are faithful, men who are teachable, men who are humble, men who are able to teach also. Mentor them, Timothy. Spend time with them. Pour into them as future leaders or pastors in the church. But also, Timothy, find men or women who are faithful, who can also teach to other men or women. The ladies at our retreat looked at Titus 2 a little bit. We looked at spiritually mature women and older women who are to disciple and pour into other ladies. Men, we're called to disciple other men. So we have a responsibility to teach all others, but there is a special emphasis here on entrusting this message, this truth, the gospel of Jesus. We're to pass it on to those who you can trust to pass it on to others. Paul would soon be executed. And he's been passing these things on to Timothy. He's trusted Timothy. And he is now entrusting Timothy to protect and pass on these truths. And now Timothy is now responsible to teach and pass on and entrust God's word to others. You and I have the same responsibility. We see this example in Jesus' life too. What did Jesus do? Jesus taught and poured into crowds of sizes of thousands. But then we also see him intentionally teaching and entrusting into a small group of others who he expected to pass it on to others. And what do we see those people do? The apostles, all but one, right? They live their life passing on the gospel, pouring into the next leaders and pastors and followers of Jesus. The only way we can do that, church, is for us to have endurance and strength. We've got to live it out in our own life, but then be able to pass on the gospel and biblical truth to others, to disciple them, teach them, continue to pass on that torch of truth. You may be sitting here today and say, man, I don't know who that would be. If you have children, that's where you start. And you have a responsibility to pour God's word into your children. So this encouragement, Paul says, be strong in Jesus, pass on the gospel and teach others. And then Paul gives three powerful examples or images of what this endurance looks like. What does it look like to be a Christian, to be a leader, to be a Christ follower that has endurance and strength? He begins by telling them in verse 3, he says, suffer hardship with me. As a good soldier of Christ Jesus, he reminds us, church, that we are in a battle. We have to endure through the battle. We have to be strong in our faith through this battle so that we can pass on the gospel. It takes strength and endurance because there is a world and there is an enemy who is actively opposing what we're doing. Jesus himself tells us that there will be suffering in this world for the sake of the gospel. And so to encourage Timothy and to encourage us as a church, Paul says this. He says, in your walk with Jesus, he says, Timothy, an authentic life church, we're to act like a good soldier. That's the next one in your notes. Act like a good soldier. He says, act like a good soldier and suffer with me for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. Paul is talking about having the right mindset here. We need to know in our mind that we're in a battle. We're in a battle for our families. We're in our battle for the church. We're in the gospel or a battle for the gospel. We're in the battle for lost souls, church. We have a mission and a mission we're suffering for. Let me say that again. Christianity isn't about sitting in comfy chairs on Sunday and singing pretty songs. It's about suffering for the gospel, church, because there are people that are going to die and go to hell. And so we are called to suffer for them. Rightly so, we say to our military, our soldiers and their families, we go to them and we say, man, we thank you for your service. We thank you for your sacrifice, because these men and women and their families, they are committed and dedicated to the mission, even to suffering if they need to. Verse 4 says this, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Paul is saying these soldiers, they don't get wrapped up or distracted by trivial matters. They're aware of the mission. They're focused. And they listen and follow and trust their commanding officer. For us as Christians, we have a mission and we have a leader. We follow the one who enlisted us. He is our focus. We're to be dedicated to him and his mission. And Jesus has given you and me a mission, church. And our eyes are to be on him and our ears listening to him and our hearts trusting him. Commentator Warren Wiersbe says this about this passage. He says about the soldier, he says, they endure hardship. They avoid worldly entanglements. They think of the whole army. What a good word. And they trust their commanding officer. It's a great reminder and picture for us. Paul is saying to Timothy, as a pastor, be like a soldier. Be dedicated, undistracted, and faithful to Commander Jesus as you lead and shepherd the church. But this is for all of us, church. For you and me, as Christ followers on mission with Jesus, he says, act like a good soldier, which is dedicated, undistracted, and faithful. You know, there's a lot of times we're here and we say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to put my yes on the table. And we go home and we get on Facebook or we watch a show or we get back entangled in the ways of the world and then we get distracted. Dedicated, undistracted, faithful. To be dedicated means to be all in, church. To be distracted means this, or to be undistracted. It means keep the main thing, church. Don't get distracted by trivial matters, things that don't matter. Don't get involved in things that will distract you from Jesus and his mission. If there's something distracting you from Jesus and his mission, it's a distraction, church. Right? And the one that we need to set aside and be faithful, he says. Trust in Jesus, follow Jesus, live to please Jesus, not yourself. Keep your eyes on him. So endure. To endure, Paul says we need to act like a good soldier. Dedicated, undistracted, faithful to Jesus. And then in verse 5, also if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Paul and Timothy were very familiar with the Greek games and the athletes involved in their day. And these athletes, they were not only dedicated to their sport, they were all in. There's a difference. They were all in when it came to their training. They prepared their mind and their bodies and their and everything about them for their event. They practiced. They were prepared. They put in the effort so that they were able to compete, not just compete, but compete at the highest level. A little bit of history about these games. Athletes competing in these games leading up to the event, they would commit to no less than 10 months of rigorous training. They also agreed, they made a commitment, they agreed to refrain from anything that would distract them or keep them from committing and competing. And they didn't train just to cross the finish line, they trained to win. They finished well. And Paul says this, hey, as a Christian, these athletes, right, they cannot win, they won't be crowned if they don't follow the rules laid out for them. Think about this, if you're a runner and you trip another runner, you can't win. If you're a boxer and you take an illegal cheap shot, you can't win. If the runners or the athletes, if they cheated as they ran, wrestled, threw the javelin, or in their chariot races, they would not win. And so Paul's encouragement is this, as Christ followers, we should compete like an athlete, trained and disciplined. Trained and disciplined. Paul tells Pastor Timothy, you need to be prepared, Pastor. You need to train and keep training and then be disciplined. Live and lead as God calls you to. Live and lead according to his standards, according to the word of God. Christ followers, all of us, as we follow Jesus, we are to be trained and disciplined. I love this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. Paul writes this to Timothy in his first letter. He says, train yourself in godliness. We spend a lot of our time training ourselves for other things for this world, and that's needed, church, right? You want to be a good employee. You want to be a good athlete, whatever it may be. Good student, but train yourself in godliness. Listen to this. For the training of the body has limited benefit. We would all agree it has good benefit to train your body, but it's temporary. But godliness is beneficial in every area, in every way, since it holds promise for the present and also the life to come. Paul is saying, Christ follower, train to live the life as God intended. Train to live your life according to the word of God. Train to live your life as God calls you to, because to live a godly life is to live with eternity in mind. Author Tony Merida says this. He says, therefore, church, these are convicting words. There are no shortcuts in sports. It requires discipline. Millions of people admire athletes, but few people imitate them. Many enjoy their performances, but few watch and attempt the training they go through. Many Christians, when we think about our Christian life, many Christians want God's blessing on their life without playing by his rules. Please understand, Paul was not talking about rule keeping to earn salvation, right? We already talked about that. That's by the grace of God. He was talking about the desire of every true believer to walk in godliness in accordance with God's word. Pastors, leaders, and all Christians, we can look at an athlete and we see the evidence that they have been trained, that they are disciplined. When you look in the mirror, when you look at your spiritual life, is there evidence that you're training in godliness? That you're growing in your walk with Christ, that you're preparing for what God wants you to do, that you're being equipped to live a godly life and to pursue the calling that God's got in your life and to pursue a life of imitating Jesus. So Paul says, compete like an athlete, trained and disciplined. Then verse 6, the next one, he says, the hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of crops. Paul's next encouragement as we remain strong in the Lord is this, church, work hard like a farmer. Work hard like a farmer. Just like an athlete and a soldier, man, farmers can't really take shortcuts, can they? right? They have to work hard. Otherwise, their farm, their crops, their animals won't make it. It's a 24/7 job, church. It's hard work. It takes dedication. Anybody in here ever done farming? I put my hand down. Let me see that. Okay. Yeah. Not me, right? It's been in our family. We understand farming, right? Y'all understand farming? But think about this, church. We think about an athlete and a farmer. There's a difference between the two. For farmers, there's not an applause for their hard work. There's no trophy. They don't have fans in the stands or sidelines cheering them on. There's no press conference when they rise early to milk the cows or bale the hay. I think this is a good analogy for ministry, church, as we walk with Jesus and serve Jesus. Living as a Christ follower in our world and our culture is hard work. That's why Paul says, you've got to be strong. Church, the farmer gets up early to work the field, care for his crops, or for the animals he protects against predators. He's talking to Pastor Tim here, right? Pastor Tim, pastors often get up early or they stay late. They're preparing to equip or to care for the church family. Pastors protect against false teachers and evil in the church. But all of us as Christ followers, we sacrifice, church. We're to work hard and we're sacrificing. We sacrifice for one another. We sacrifice for the mission. We give financially. We give of ourselves. We serve. We pray. We cry. We help. We share. We protect one another from the attacks and the temptations of the enemy. It's hard work. And guess what? There's usually not any applause. There's no press conferences. There's no trophies. But church, we don't give, serve, care, and love for the recognition, for the attention. We do it for Jesus. We do it so people can come to know Christ. We do it because we love one another. We do it for the mission. We do it for those that don't know Jesus, the lost. We work hard to be used by God to spread his gospel and see people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I promise you, you work hard and then get to be involved in someone coming to know Jesus, that will radically change your day. All of these illustrations, the soldier, the athlete, the farmer, they're all great, but they cannot be lived out on our own strength. We cannot do this life on our own. We cannot endure alone. We cannot be strong enough on our own. We cannot cross the finish line on our own. We cannot stay focused on our own out of our own strength. And that leads us back to verse 1. We can be strong and strengthened by the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. If you're sitting here today and say, man, I don't know how I'm going to do these things. I don't know how I'm going to train and develop. You are with my church. I don't know how I'm going to live all this out. You do it by going back to verse 1 where we go to Jesus. To live the life Jesus calls us to live as a mom, as a dad, as a child, as a student, as a parent, you have to go to Jesus. That leads us to our last point this morning and probably the most important. Look at verse 8. We're going to finish this out. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. He's just talking about the gospel that changed his life, the good news that he received. And it's remember Jesus, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Verse 11, it is a trustworthy statement, which means we should listen. For if we died with Christ, we will also live with him. If we endure with Christ, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. As we endure, as we are strong, as we are faithfully live our lives for Christ, as we stand strong, as we teach and pour into others, as we act like a good soldier, compete like a disciplined athlete, as we work hard like a farmer, we can do all of those things. And we should do all those things. We can even look at others here in our church family and say, man, they are living. Tim, you're living well. Right, Allison, you're living well. Becky, you're living well. You're finishing strong. You're following Jesus faithfully. We should look at those people. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But first and foremost, more than anything else, we are to remember the hero of the gospel, and that's Jesus. Remember the hero of the gospel, and that's Jesus. Paul says, remember Jesus. Remember, church, Don't miss this. Just listen to this. Remember that Jesus rose from the dead after suffering and dying for your sins. Remember that he defeated sin and death and hell and the grave. Remember that he is the promised Savior who was in the line of David. Remember that he brought the good news that saved us. Remember that he brought the good news that Paul preached and lived for. Remember that Jesus is the good news that saved us and changed us. Remember that he is the only one who can save us and reconcile us. Remember that he is the only one, right? And to be with him, we get to be with him for eternity only through him. Remember that he is the one who died for you and your sins. Remember that he is the one who gives you eternal life. Remember that he is the one who we will reign with for eternity. Remember, he is the only one who will never leave you or forsake you. He is the only one who is always faithful. Remember Jesus. We're to remember. We're to keep our eyes on him and live for him and pursue him. He's the hero of the gospel. There are heroes in the faith. I've got heroes in the faith, but Jesus is my hero, church. He's our hero. I want to speak very clearly this morning about a very important truth. Paul says this in verse 12. He says, if we deny Jesus, Jesus will also deny us. It's important that we understand what Paul is saying here. He's not saying that if we're already saved and we go through a hard time and we deny him and are you with me, church? That's not what he's talking about. He's saying this, if you don't place your trust in Jesus, if you deny that Jesus is God, if you deny that he is Lord and Savior, if you deny that his free gift of love and forgiveness and salvation, then he will deny you. Because the only way to be with Jesus, the only one to be saved, the only way to be forgiven, the only one to spend eternity, the only way to be with him for eternity in heaven is by placing your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Is Jesus the boss of your life? Is he your Savior? Have you received that gift from him? Because Paul's saying, if not, you've denied him. And God will have, Jesus will have no choice but deny us. There are people that will stand before Jesus one day and he will have to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you because you denied me. I came and I lived for you and I died for you and I rose again for you and I'm here for you and I have all this grace and this love for you. But if you deny me, I have to deny you. So if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus, don't leave today without doing that. But church, when we place our faith and our trust in Jesus and call on him to save us, we will be with him for eternity, right? Adopted into God's family, saved from all of our sins. And because he's our hero, Jesus is our motivation to endure, church. Jesus is our only reason for all we do. Jesus gives us the strength. He is who we live with. He is who we live for. He is who we point others to. Jesus is the reason that we act like the soldier and we compete like an athlete and work hard like a farmer. Jesus is my hero, church. Jesus is the hero of Authentic Life Church. Is he your hero? Have you trusted in Jesus or have you denied him? Church, if you know Jesus and follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as you live each day, remember Jesus. Let's pray.